It's Waddle and Sylvie.
Hi.
Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN _ Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
We'll get back to the Bulls conversation a little later in the show, but I've been drooling, waiting to talk about my favorite NFL football team now for a day and a half. Bears had their first padded practice, which makes me giggle to even say. It took them, what, a week before they put the pads on, but they did it out at Soldier Field yesterday. And Dan Wiederer, you can read him in the Trib, you can hear him with us here on ESPN 1000. He was there and took in all the action, and he joins us right now. Dan, how was day one with the actual pads on out at Soldier Field? Dan? It was a good question.
Dan Wiederer, I think, dropped off the line, so I'll answer your question. You know,
Chris,
they look good out there.
Playing the part of Dan.
Well, you know, it's funny. The way that you look at it, the way that Yurko looks at it, you guys are experts here at ESPN 1000 covering the National Football League. I'm just someone who consumes it. You guys live through it. And I, as someone who consumes it, find it hard to believe that you can prepare yourself for a 16-17 game regular season without actually going through the motions of hitting each other and actually practicing in the NFL. I find it crazy. I didn't participate. I never played football.
I think it's a fair statement, and I think there's a happy medium like everything in life. Like, what we used to do was asinine. It's what we thought we had to do at the time. I think that the Packers eventually, and initially it was the 49ers, that decided to do things with a little less aggression and they paced themselves a little bit more. They had great teams. The talent level was significantly better than everyone else. But their approach to getting ready to play, I thought, was much smarter. So I think that, you know, less is more, but you still have to put the pads on and do football things to be ready for a football season.
Isn't there an element of tapering off, though? Don't you have to build to something to then relax and then prepare for?
Yeah, I mean, I think you can. There's definitely that, but you do have to put the pads on, and you do have to go out there and, you know, develop the calluses, so to speak, and use the football muscles and get yourself acclimated to what's going to transpire when the season begins. I think what that end up happening, or has happened over the course of time, is teams have taken a different approach, that being 100% ready and at your best week one is no longer the priority that it used to be. It's almost like, yeah, we want to be ready, but we're going to build to a crescendo at some point in the league, and that doesn't necessarily have to happen in week
almost
one.
Almost has a college football vibe.
Yeah.
Dan Wiederer is ready, so go ahead, give your question again. See if you can lock in with
that. I forgot what it was.
Oh, it was such a good question. It was about day one at the pads on.
Yeah, I was saying, Dan, that I thought that, you know, I was laughing initially, knowing that it took this long for them to actually put the pads on, but I just wanted to know what you saw out at Soldier Field yesterday. And he's not there again. I'm not going to do it again. I think you and Tyler set me up. I think you guys set me up. I think that's what you did.
I have nothing to do with this. Nothing to do with it.
Now, okay, I wasn't out there, but I'll give you a couple of impressions of, I'm not going to give you impressions of how people do things, but a couple of things that I gleaned from following guys on Twitter and consuming some of the info that was coming out. I'm concerned about their offensive line. Significantly concerned about their offensive line. I know we're only a week into this. I know that they don't kick off the preseason until, what, a week from Saturday? Tevin Jenkins has not practiced yet, even in shells. You've got Elijah Wilkerson, who was out yesterday, is now, I believe, on the COVID list. I think Jermaine Effetti's on the PUP list with a hip injury. I believe James Daniels went out yesterday with a thigh injury. Like, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that it's gloom and doom and that these guys are going to be out for an extended period of time, but this is very concerning to me, a position that was of great importance this year and improving that position. You got rid of Leno. You got rid of Massey. You said we're going to move on with new guys. None of those new guys have been available to you so far.
You want to try your question a third time?
Absolutely not.
Hey, Dan Wiederer, are you there? Oh, this is a joke. This is a joke now.
See? Now it's your fault. Is it going to be like this all day?
Dan?
Danny.
Fellas.
Oh, there he is.
Hi, Dan.
We did. I have so much to say. What did I miss?
Yeah, I don't know. Did you fall asleep on us?
No, I kept hearing the ding, and then it was, and then you guys were gone.
Yeah.
I'd hear the ding, okay. And then you were gone.
Let's try this again. Dan, I was very pleased to see the team finally put the pads on out at Soldier Field yesterday during the day. What were your impressions of what you saw?
Here's what I thought, Tommy. I thought that the day was a beautiful day to be back inside Soldier Field with the pads on, with fans in the stands, with sort of that natural early August energy accompanying everything that Bears did on the practice field. And then the entire day ended with an uh-oh when you took inventory of the guys on the COVID list, the guys who couldn't practice due to injury. And all of a sudden, you're looking at a list on offense. Tariq Cohen, Jermaine Ifedi, Tevin Jenkins, Elijah Wilkinson on defense, Eddie Jackson, Eddie Goldman, Robert Quinn, Tayshaun Gibson, special teams, Pat Scales, all guys unable to practice. And you say, boy, we've reached our first uh-oh moment of camp. And it's illuminated some of the major, major concerns that are facing this team, offensive line-wise, COVID-wise, everything else related. There were a lot of things yesterday where it just made you stop and go, that natural swell of optimism is suddenly accompanied by that natural Chicago sense of anxiety.
Dan, when you look at the quarterbacks, what's the takeaway to this point in camp? Because I feel like we've heard positive comments from both guys, and then, but also there's really no competition, which the coaching staff has told us all offseason. What's your takeaway to this point of what you've seen from both quarterbacks?
Yeah, I think it's played out as the coaching staff sort of forecast that it would play out, that Andy Dalton, with 10 years of experience under his belt, has a natural sense of calm and confidence about him that's noticeable. Justin Fields is a guy who's in his first training camp as a rookie, is going through the paces with flashes of brilliance and some other moments where you say, okay, he's not seeing everything the way he's going to see it 3 months from now, 6 months from now, 2 years from now. And so it's all sort of playing out as expected. I will say that Andy's sort of natural calm, it has proven to be very contagious. You hear it not only from the coaches, but from the guys that are sharing the huddle in the field with him, that there's just a sense that, okay, this ball is going to be where it's supposed to be on this play, and if I'm the guy that's supposed to get it, I better be where I'm supposed to be, and it's going to be there. And so there has been a smoothness to the first team offense that has been more significant than we've seen in recent years. With Fields, I mean, there are moments every day where the wow factor is there, whether it's a fastball over the middle that hits a receiver in stride and allows a completion 12 yards down the field to turn into a, you know, 24, 25-yard gain, or whether it was, you know, like yesterday and the previous day, there were some things in team drills where he saw nothing was there, his instincts took over, his legs took over, and now you see that elite speed and you go, boy, that's something that a guy like Matt Nagy is going to love, because it makes really bad plays and awkward play calls turn into first downs. And so that's something up the road when Justin Fields is finally your starter, you're going to say, boy, that's awesome to have.
Dan Weiderer joining us on ESPN 1000. Let's talk about the guys that are going to be protecting these quarterbacks.
Yeah.
When Matt is asked about Tevin Jenkins, is it going to be days or weeks? And he says he doesn't know. That is more than a little bit concerning for me, Dan. How would you interpret that?
There's a huge level of concern here. And you heard it in Matt's tone yesterday. You heard it in sort of the undertow of the comments that he made yesterday in terms of Kevin isn't any good to us if he's not out there. And then he comes back a few minutes later and says, hey, wouldn't it be cool if Larry Borum, a fifth-round pick, took advantage of this opportunity and became our starting left tackle? And then he, in response to a question that Brad Biggs asked, said Ryan Pace and the front office are going to have to keep their eyes open on potential starting options on the open market as we get closer to the regular season. So it tells you, number one, that they're trying to give Tevin a nudge. Hey, man, we need you sooner rather than later to get on the field and start getting comfortable, start getting experience, start being able to show that you can solidify that left tackle position. Otherwise, we're in trouble. And it also tells you that the coaching staff feels a little bit of unsettled feelings right now about their offensive line. Look, James Daniels left practice yesterday with a thigh injury. Elijah Wilkinson, who had been filling in at left tackle, is now on the COVID list. You've got Jermaine Ifedi, your projected starter at right tackle, who hasn't taken a single snap in camp because he strained a hip flexor in the conditioning test. The Bears talked a lot about how their offensive struggles last year in the first 10 games were largely based on instability up front. Guess what we're looking at in the first week of August here? Instability up front.
I would remind people, too, this isn't just about protecting your quarterback. This is also about establishing a running game. And when you struggle to find healthy bodies at tackle, that's going to hurt your running game as much as it's going to hurt your passing game.
it's going to hurt everything. It's going to hurt everything. And so that's what I mean when I say that you kind of get caught up, particularly when we're now allowed to be back out there in person and we're seeing more on the practice field and we're able to talk to more people inside the building and learn more about this team. You get caught up in that swell of, man, football's back. Everybody's feeling good about this. The Bears are making improvements across the board. And then you go, well, wait a second here. If the offensive line is a mess and you don't have a starter at left tackle, how much improvement can you expect to make offensively? And so now I asked Matt, I said, are you feeling anxious about this? He said, anxiety isn't the right word, but urgency is. And so that tells you where they're at here as they progress toward the first preseason game, which now, guys, is you know, not that far off, just a week and a half away.
Is there anything that you've picked up on, Dan, from Nagy as a play caller schematically and what he's trying to improve upon from what we've seen the last couple of years of his failing offense? Is there anything you've noticed in camp?
We're not going to be able to notice that, Chris, until the regular season gets going. Probably won't have a real good sort of feel for that until we're 3, 4, 5 games into the regular season. But I did ask Matt that very question last week just in terms of, hey, look, you've been very self-reflective on areas where you were deficient the last few years. As a play caller, where are you looking to improve? And he sort of stressed the need to be in consistent communication between series within games where you're getting over there, you're talking to your offense, you're getting on the same page with your quarterbacks, you're trying to figure out what they're seeing, what are we doing that's working, what are we doing that's getting taken away, and just trying to maintain that constant flow of communication within a game to help that process. Again, we're not going to have any sort of sample size on that to see if they've made significant improvement until we're into October, and so a bit of a wait and see in that department.
Dan, what did you make of the comments from Nick Foles? I thought it was directly taking kind of a poke at Matt in the same way that Mitch did last year when he talked about now coming back, they're starting to run plays that fit me better. Am I right there?
Kind of. I mean, yeah, 100%. I had someone from outside the building who saw everything that Nick said the other day and said that Nick rolled the grenade into that room and then walked out the right door. And so I think that was an apt description of the whole thing, because it was in some ways a little bit of a passive aggressive shot at, hey, look, I know what I've been capable of my career when I've been with a coach who knows my skill set and caters to my skill set, and I won a Super Bowl, and you know, I know what mediocrity looks like, and Frank Reich's not mediocre, you know. And so read between the lines of some of the things that Nick was implying. You know, look, this is a veteran who's trying to come to grips with being a third stringer as a former Super Bowl MVP, and so certainly he's blown off steam and would rather be elsewhere, right, at this stage in his career and with a different team, with a different role. But I think, Tommy, I think why it's significant is because of a lot of the things we talked about a year ago, that if Nick Foles' failures were in part or in large part caused by the person who was at the controls of the offense, and that's the same thing that took down Trubisky in some ways as well. Well, now we have to shine that spotlight
right
in 2021 clearly on Matt. And if Matt can't get Andy and or Justin unlocked, well, then you have your answer on whether he's the right guy for this job. And so I think Nick was just sort of trying to remind people that, okay, yeah, they went out and got two new quarterbacks, but until these guys produce, those questions that you've had for a couple of years haven't been answered.
All right, Dan, hang in there. When we come back, I want to talk some football on the defensive side of the football, rather, and some other issues around the NFL as well. More with Dan Wiederer when we return.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports. You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie.
See what we're up to.
See them on Twitch at ESPN 1000 Chicago.
Dan Wiederer remains with us as we continue our Bears conversation. Dan, I said to Chris at the break, I don't think anybody that I've talked to, there's been talk about Justin Fields. There's been talk about the offensive line. I haven't heard a lot of people discuss what's going on in their secondary, especially at the cornerback position. What can you tell us about what's going on? Jalen Johnson in his second year, Desmond Trufant is the veteran that they signed. How does their secondary look to you at this point?
Well, you didn't mention Kendall Vildor's name, and I think Kendall Vildor is a guy who, with preseason action, may tell the coaching staff that he's ready to move into that outside corner starting position. And if he can do that, then Desmond Trufant is expendable, and all of a sudden you've got a young draft pick that you can develop and try to make a building block on your defense. And he's looked really good through the early stages of the camp. Jalen Johnson has looked really good through the early stages of the camp. The cornerback position right now, somehow, some way, is less of a worry than the safety position, where Eddie Jackson still hasn't practiced, and now Tayshaun Gibson is out dealing with a soft tissue injury. And so the worries at cornerback aren't as significant as we may have thought they would be a few months ago. And obviously, I think preseason action will allow us to get a better glimpse at that as well.
The other question I would have with regard to the defense is, how do things look different, or do they not, with Sean Desai as the guy making the calls?
I'll tell you this, that there's just been a very heartfelt, sincere, and really genuine praise universally from every single guy in that defense about who Sean is as a leader, as a strategist, as a guy who knows what his players do best and knows then how to position his players to do what they do best. Every single guy in that defense is feeling great about Sean as their coordinator. That's a start, right? Sean's got to prove it to us in game action that he can be that X's and O's guy that understands what the opponent does well, understands what his defense does well, and matches it up as masterfully as Vic did in 2018. But that belief going in, it's really, really significant right now, and it's really genuine. And now he's got to figure out a way to get Khalil Mack double-digit sacks, to get Eddie Jackson when he's healthy back intercepting the ball on a regular basis, to get Roquan Smith playing in ways that allow him to change games with one play, right? And so that's Sean's task, but the energy he's created and the passion that he has sort of brought to that defensive room is noticeable right now, and you got to feel really good about that if you're a Bears fan.
On the opposite side of Khalil Mack, is Khalil Mack going to get any help trying to attack the quarterback this season?
Yeah, I tell you, Chris, about the uh-oh moments of yesterday as you're sitting out in a beautiful 80-degree day down by the lakefront, and you go, oh, hey, Robert Quinn's not practicing again. His back's tightening up on him. And you go, man, we're a week into camp, and already Robert Quinn is dealing with the back issue that limited him in the spring after he came off a season with only two sacks. And you go, what are we doing? You know, what can the Bears realistically expect out of a guy they guaranteed $30 million? And you say, I don't know that they can expect much right now. So now you go down the depth chart, and you hope that Trevis Gibson, a draft pick from a year ago, can make a huge stride in his development. You hope Jeremiah Tachu, a guy that they brought in from Denver, can be an upgrade on what Mingo was a year ago as a situational pass rusher and a guy who can make some starts for you if need be. And so you got to direct your focus there with the assumption that Robert Quinn is not going to be healthy enough on a consistent basis to help you the way they want to. Until he proves otherwise, that's kind of the operating mindset that you have to have.
I see. I think some guys are reporting. Are you reporting this as well, that the Bears have signed Alec Ogletree, who gives them some linebacker depth? Or is that am I breaking news to you?
No, that is true. In the works on that, just as a frame of reference and to set the context and perspective on that, Bears lost two linebackers yesterday, Christian Jones on the COVID-19 reserve list. Josh Woods left practice with a thigh injury. So all of a sudden you get into this stage of camp where you just need bodies. You need guys that can practice with the twos and threes. Ogletree, talented dude, former first-round pick, was really good with the Rams, had a couple flashes with the Giants, but washed out of the league last year with the Jets. And I think the perception around the league that he's probably too old and too slow to stick and be a difference maker at this stage of his career, but the Bears need bodies to practice, and so they'll bring him in.
Yeah, camp body. What can you get? What kind of update can you give us on Eddie Goldman?
Okay, yeah. So Eddie Goldman, I am told, tested positive for COVID-19. What I don't know at this point is whether he is vaccinated or not. And guys, everyone that's on the outside saying it's none of anyone's business whether a guy is vaccinated or not isn't understanding that the rules are different. If Eddie Goldman is unvaccinated, he is absolutely required to sit out for 10 days. So think about that for a second. This is a guy that didn't play all of 2020, a guy who the coaching staff has stressed needs to use this period to get into football shape so he's ready to go for the regular season.
And Dan, he opted out because of COVID and
Because of COVID and because of health issues that he has that made him a high risk to opt out, right? And so I'm told that he's asymptomatic at this point, and so there's not a worry that he's not feeling well. That's obviously a huge bit of news, but when you start talking about this from a football machination standpoint, you're talking about losing a guy for 10 days of practice at a time where he needs the practice and the work, and so that's where this whole vaccinated or unvaccinated takes on a whole new life, as the Vikings are finding out in Minnesota, because it can derail you. And if this starts happening in September and October, all of a sudden, you know, you're handcuffed with what you can do. And so it's a major issue. The roadblocks aren't out of the way yet. And this is one the Bears are going to have to deal with this week. And I don't know if they'll update us tomorrow on which guys are you know, obligated to sit out 10 days, or if they're just going to give us the day-to-day talking point and let us try to do the investigation and the guessing game.
Dan, when we look around the NFL, the Indianapolis Colts are dealing with a quarterback situation because Carson Wentz could have a situation where he's out 5 to 12 weeks. What do you think the Colts do there for their starting quarterback?
Well, first of all, you said two numbers that are very different, right?
Right.
5 and 12. And I think that's Chris Ballard's job to try to figure out, okay, which one is this, right? How urgent is this? If it's 5 weeks and you're talking about, okay, we can get him back for the opener, maybe week two, week three, then all of a sudden your urgency isn't as high. If it's 12 weeks, you better find somebody with a playoff ready roster who can come in and win games for you. And so, you know, it's my understanding that the Colts are going to play a little wait and see here for the next week to 10 days and try to get a better estimate of where Wentz's timeline is. And then you have to start preparing yourself, right? And I know obviously the knee-jerk reaction is, oh, Nick Foles makes perfect sense. The relationship he has with Frank Reich, he's obviously doing nothing for the Bears in the number three role here, that they would be hesitant to give him up for anything, right? But there's also the storyline that you talk to people in Philly and they say, look, Carson Wentz wants no part of Nick Foles' shadow being anywhere near him in the locker room. And as good of a relationship as they have had, that was a hard thing for Carson Wentz to deal with after the Super Bowl and for the following year when he again got hurt for the playoffs and everything that came with that. And so I don't think the Colts are putting Nick at the top of their list, particularly with the season he's coming off of. And I haven't seen much today. I saw there were some rumblings that Philip Rivers might maybe just possibly consider sneaking out of the house and getting away from the 27 kids he has to come back and play again.
Oh, can you imagine, Dan? Can you imagine if he gets his feelings hurt by Nick Foles coming to town? Like Philip Rivers has no time for your feelings. I mean, that would be a very interesting quarterback room with Nick Foles, Philip Rivers and a hurt Carson Wentz.
No doubt. And you said two words there, a hurt Carson Wentz, right?
Yeah.
Which seems to be something that happens every year, whether it's physically or emotionally. And so the Colts have an issue right now because, again, they've got a playoff-ready roster, and they thought they had an answer in Wentz, and now obviously they've got to play the wait-and-see game.
Hey, what do you make of what's going on in Minnesota? Obviously, Zimmer is not happy. The quarterback room isn't practicing. I believe they're at like 65% with regard to the vaccination level. So Zim's upset. He's red ass to begin with. What do you see this as maybe being something that spills into the early part of the season?
So I still obviously have contacts up there, both inside the building and outside the building. And I'm told that Mike Zimmer, as sort of red ass as he's been in front of the microphone, has been triply pissed off behind the scenes about what's going on in his building. And so that tells you something, because Zim doesn't hide his feelings real well. And he's holding back, even though he's not holding back, if that makes sense. It's a problem. And look, Rick Dennison left them, right? He was going to be a key part of their offensive coaching staff, and now he's sort of reduced to a bit of a consultant-type role for the season because he didn't want to get the vaccine. And now you got your quarterback room derailed, and it's just another sort of just magnifying glass that this pandemic is not done with the NFL, and certain teams are going to have to deal with it and steer around obstacles in different ways. And the Vikings, I mean, you understand why Zim is anxious, you know, anxious right now, because there's just so much that, you know, again, if this happens a month from now, right? Think about if that thing had happened with Kellen Mond a month from now, and all of a sudden you're left to go into a regular season game with no chance of winning. And Mike Zimmer's got to win soon, right?
Yeah.
Like, we know the status up there. So it's a weird situation, and it's one that's going to sort of knock on the door of every NFL building at some point.
Before we show you the door, is there anything else you need to tell us?
Well, all right, let me give you this. Cole Kmet, here's a nugget for you, was doing the long snapping yesterday with Patrick Scales out.
Mm.
So that was an interesting sort of notable thing to look out and go, wait a second, is that Kmet snapping the ball?
Matt Nagy said they were going to give him more snaps this year.
Yeah, there you go. I use that as an entry point to say that Kmet looks really good through the first stretch of camp. And again, it was really fun to talk to him last week. in person for the first time. First time we got to meet him in person, and to hear his sort of recap of going to tight end U earlier this summer for some summer school classes with Kelsey and Kittle and Olsen and the other guys that were there, and really just soaking in a lot of knowledge and feeling like that's helped him come back here and have, you know, more sophisticated discussions with Nagy on how certain routes in the playbook need to be run. And so I think there's reasons to feel really good about his development. And he stressed as well, look, this year I had OTAs. This year I have a full training camp. All of a sudden you get more practice time, you get more comfort, and it should lead to more production on the field. Again, that's up to your play caller to make sure that happens.
Amen. Dan, thanks for all the information. We appreciate it. We'll be in touch.
Great talk, fellas.
See Thanks, buddy.
Thanks, Dan. I mean, that's fantastic news about Cole Kmet.
It is. Yeah.
They need a tight end who can be a difference maker, yes. Not just a guy who catches passes at the goal line.
Listen, I think the addition of Jesse James, while it's not going to knock your socks off, it's another guy that hopefully can contribute and give you more in the offensive side of the football. So some nonsense with Waddle's World is coming up. It is Wednesday, right? Yep. So we have Florida or Ohio, and we'll get back to the Bulls conversation at 4 o'clock as well.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports. This is Waddle's World.
And in Chicago, Tom Waddle. He can't run, he's not fast, but he gets open.
Bears legend.
Amazing.
9 career TDs in the NFL.
He caught everything that was thrown.
That's
and
10.
Took every hit that they could give him.
Tom Waddle.
Let's get weird. Let's get weird.
Welcome to Waddle's World. Come inside.
Weary, let's get weird. Let's get weird. Weird. Let's get weird. Weird. Let's get weird.
Black's getting weird. By the way, I gotta tell you, I said this yesterday.
The are you show, talking about the glow again, or are we
no,
talking
no, no,
about
no. Oh, okay. The White Lotus, the show on HBO? It is weird as hell, but it is funny as hell. Sylvie and Carmen were talking about it, and they it was a suggestion from them to watch. My wife and I have laughed our asses off.
What's it about?
It's about a resort, a Hawaiian resort, and okay. Just some crazy people and some interaction.
It's really fun.
Don't you think?
It's a lot of fun.
It's very quirky. It's really weird.
Some hijinks.
But it is, like, there are so many just great. Steve Zahn is a funny
he's
SOB.
He's the manager, right?
No,
of
no,
the
no,
hotel?
No. No,
oh,
Steve is
the jerk.
He's the husband.
Yes.
The older husband.
Yeah.
Not the younger husband.
I know which one you're talking about.
Yeah, it's
so good. It's fun.
Yeah, it is good.
The premise around it is HBO gave the creator, they said, it was in the middle of COVID, he said, we want a COVID friendly. So he just rented out a resort in Hawaii.
Is that what, and he is hilarious.
Got
yeah.
it.
And it's really good.
I would, listen, if you kind of like quirky shows, it's fun. It's a good watch.
I believe Steve Zahn's best film, Saving Silverman. You guys ever seen that?
Oh, he was also, I don't think I saw that, but I saw
Neil Diamond.
What was the movie where he was with Martin Lawrence, and they were like, they were like one of these like Brinks trucks guards.
Hold on. I'm on the IMDb
on his IMDb. By the way, Waddle's World is brought to you by our great partners at Wintrust Community Banks.
No.
Chicago's banks is who they are. To find your nearest Wintrust Community Bank, visit Wintrust.com/finest member FDIC.
Not Stuart Little, too, right?
No, not Stuart Little, too. He was in the movie with Martin Lawrence.
Joyride?
Nope. He's funny as hell. I didn't need to
Employee
see...
Employee of the Month?
Nope. I didn't need to see his junk in the first 10 minutes of the first episode.
Oh, that's the highlight of HBO Max. You get to see his Lil Zani.
I guess.
Actually kind of relevant to how your show's been today.
Yes.
He's having an issue.
By the way, that's Eric. Eric Ostrowski's in it. And
hi,
he
Eric.
He would like to tell us a story about where he got hit in the junk.
So yeah, this actually isn't... This is the worst
way,
one I've ever seen.
Were you listening on the way in? Did you find the... nutshot conversation to be entertaining at the very
absolutely.
Least.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, just like watching it happen, you can't help but to laugh. Right. You really can't.
Like when you're on Twitter and you see like the little kids hit a wiffle ball straight back at
just
dad.
A liner, a screamer. Oh,
was it Brett Butler? Remember Brett Butler, the baseball player? That was one of the famous videos.
I don't know that one.
Pitching to his son, and his son, I believe it was a hard ball, and hit it right back up the middle and hit him right in the stuff.
I used to wear my dad's shins out when he would pitch to me, which just balled back on. But all right, so the worst one.
National security. I already said
there
that's
it. Is.
National,
was it? Yeah, that's it. Yeah. It's hilarious.
All right, I'm sorry.
They're great.
Eric.
Both of them are great. And Martin Lawrence and Steve Zahn are great in it.
Okay, so the way it actually didn't happen to me. It happened to a team I was playing in baseball. He was playing second base. Short hop, hit him in the cup he was wearing. Shattered his cup.
Oh, no. He got
he's on the ground.
Did he have cup shrapnel?
He was on the ground yelling and pulls out pieces of his cup. And for about 2.5 innings in the dugout, he was puking into the garbage can.
Nothing like a good cup thud.
Yeah.
Oh,
man.
When I saw it broke, I've never seen that before.
Did he catch any shrapnel? Was
there
any blood?
I wasn't inspecting. I don't know. No, I don't know.
I wasn't expecting you to inspect, but maybe like they needed to bring a medical professional.
The buzz on the field.
The buzz on the field was yes, that there was
bad situation.
Eric, let me guess. Did he go did he drop to the knees and then face into the dirt?
It was absolutely one of those slow knee and then onto the shoulder, just yelling. And hands went in his pants right away, which was the funny thing. He just starts pulling out pieces.
That's funny for you. It's not funny for him.
I can't imagine how bad that was.
That's one of those funny for you, not funny for him type of moments. Wow.
Well,
that's
great.
Not good.
Fantastic.
Yeah,
that's a good stuff to Waddle's World. I like that.
Okay, I'm going to read you. There's so many little sports stories here, but what I wanted to do with you here, and we're going to continue to talk football at 4. Michael Wilbon is going to join us at 5 in studio, so we'll get back to the basketball then. But what I wanted to do was read you. This is the title. I want to get your impressions of what you heard. Or what you're about to hear. It's titled Bold NFL Training Camp Predictions for All 32 Teams. And for the Chicago Bears, our very own Jeff Dickerson is the one who wrote the blurb about the Bears. Mm. So what JD says is Andy Dalton will outplay Justin Fields in the quarterback competition. The entire Bears fan base eagerly awaits Fields' NFL debut. But Dalton is by far the better choice to open the season as Chicago's starting quarterback. Dalton, who is entering his 11th NFL season, has already displayed a strong command for the offense and chemistry with key wide receivers, particularly Allen Robinson, early in training camp. Fields can make plenty of spectacular throws, but the rookie first-round pick is also learning the subtleties of playing quarterback in the NFL. Without question, he is the future of the franchise and will one day be named the starting quarterback. But Dalton's continued good play raises the hope that the Bears can be patient with Fields' development. That is JD when given the assignment to come up with a bold training camp prediction for your Chicago Bears. Your thoughts?
I like it. I would say if you listen to Waddle and Sylvie, JD basically told you guys that last week when he was on with you. And I replayed it on Black and Abdallah because I just wanted to point out that JD's point to the conversation was that Andy Dalton looks good and the offense looks much better. So let's not rush Justin Fields in because we may have a competent quarterback who may be able to do some things with this offense.
I've heard people actually say as well that this is the most competent it looks at the quarterback position since Matt Nagy has been here. Like this is the best it's looked. Going back to the Mitch time, through the Nick Foles moments from last year, this is the best, and it's a very small sample size, but this is the best things have looked and the most competent quarterback play that you've seen so far in Matt Nagy's time here at Chicago.
Wouldn't you kind of hope so, though, based on Andy Dalton has had a track record in the league. I know he's a backup now, or he was last year, and now the Bears are going to make him a starter again, but he's gotten to the playoffs. He's had some success. Not a lot of it, but some.
Yeah, he's a competent placeholder right now.
And then you go out and you draft a quarterback high in the first round, and this is unlike the Mitch situation because Mitch was completely unproven.
Not ready to go when they even put him in that fourth game or fifth game, that Monday nighter against Minnesota.
So even if Justin Fields isn't necessarily ready, we've seen Justin Fields on big college football stages perform better than anyone else. So I think I get that. I totally understand that the Bears are in the best situation that they've been in under Matt Nagy at the quarterback position, just based on the two individuals they brought into the room.
Yeah, and we'll continue to talk about the Bears and their situation at the quarterback position. I'd like to see that offensive line get healthy, but that's a concern I think we all share. The Bucs have given Todd Bowles a new contract, 3 years, making him the highest paid defensive coordinator in the league. That is money well spent and money well earned. Some basketball info for you. Kemba Walker is signing with the Knicks. John Collins has agreed to a contract extension with the Hawks as well. So there's some basketball news for you. And when we come back, I'm going to tell you where you can find Sylvie. the next couple of nights.
Awesome.
Not a Where's Waldo, but a Where's Sylvie over the next couple of evenings after the show. You may want to find him because he's going to be giving away some good stuff. So I'll let you in on that. Plus, some nutty stories, not guys getting hit in the
You've got an interesting dilemma for one story, this individual with a story from below the belt.
It is below the belt.
Nutty story.
It will be our nuttiest story of the day.
All right.
It's less nutty and more fleshy, but
okay. Do I have to dump that? I'm in here
and not in there. No, you don't have to dump that.
If I was in the other room, I may have dumped that.
I just said it's more fleshy. By the way, it seems like Aaron Rodgers and Goody are getting along a little better as well.
Oh, good for them.
So maybe it's not just 2021 that Aaron will be back in Green Bay, but it may be the next 2 years.
Fleshy.
So you're going to have to
fleshy.
Do that.
There's a fleshy story coming up next.
Yes. That's all I got.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Is it my turn? This hour is brought to you by Xfinity. Get the speed, coverage, and control you need with Xfinity X5.
Waddle and Sylvie are with you as you return to the office, just like that annoying coworker that always talks about their cat. Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
I'm going to take the next few minutes and dedicate it to my my partner, Mark Silverman, radio partner, that is. First of all, I think we should all wish him and his lovely wife, Allie, a very happy anniversary. I believe
it's
number nine. Number nine.
Congrats.
So happy anniversary to Sylvie and Allie. And then I want to tell you, which I think is equally important to him, that he's going to be out with listeners over the next couple of nights. That was a joke. That he was going to be spending the next two nights with listeners. Tonight with his wife. Right. The next two nights with his...
With
equally important to him. tomorrow night, he will be at the Stony Point Grill in Mokena. That's 19031. How do you say that? 19031? When you give the number. Like when I lived at 10825 Bridal Path Lane in Cincinnati. Would you say 19031 South LaGrange Road? That's where it's located. How would you use the numbers? How would you deliver the numbers? Again, 10825 Bridal Path Lane was my childhood home.
Yeah, if I would usually give you the 19031
South LaGrange Road. Is that how you deliver it? You're going to be able to win passes to the Fantasy Football Convention. When is that, Chris? That is Saturday, August
21st. 8 a.m.
Yes.
ESPN 1000 Fantasy Football Convention. Sylvie will have tickets for you tomorrow night.
And that's at 115, am I right, Bourbon Street?
Yes. Yeah, for the Fantasy Football Convention, yes. 115 Bourbon Street, Saturday, August 21st, starting at 8 a.m. You can get tickets for $20 right now at ESPNChicagoFFC.com. Sponsored by PropSwap, Hooters, Bettenhausen Automotive, Janus Motorcycles, and 3G.
What a team effort that was between you and I. He's going to have trivia contests, all kind of stuff. He'll be there 7 to 9 again. That's tomorrow night at Stony Point Grill in Mokena. If you're good at trivia, you're going to have a chance to win passes to the Fantasy Football Convention. And then Friday night, 6:30 to 8:30, he's at McGee's in Lincoln Park. What can you tell us about McGee's, Chris?
McGee's is a fantastic bar in Lincoln Park. You can go to McGee's on Webster, 950 West Webster Avenue. And Sylvie will have tickets to give away there as well, spots for the Fantasy Football Convention. But yeah, McGee's a longtime spot in Lincoln Park.
Have you been hammered there before?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah?
Yeah, 100%. Abdallah and I, back in the day, McGee's used to be our Thursday night bar. Like because all the bars had different deals and specials.
Yeah.
So like you go to Kincaid's on Wednesday, you go to McGee's on Thursday, you kind of spread it around on Friday, Saturday.
I remember Kincaid's from back in my time, like the early 90s.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, big time. Absolutely.
Isn't it close to DePaul?
Yeah,
right
in the heart.
Right,
yeah.
Right by the soccer field.
Do you spend a lot of time there?
From time to time,
A little Kincaid's action?
No, we're talking McGee's.
No, McGee's.
Sylvie will be at McGee's.
That's right.
Yes.
See, I'm not
McGee's is where you want to go on Friday night to see Sylvie.
Right.
6:30 to 8:30.
I screwed that up.
Sylvie will be there at McGee's. McGee's is fantastic.
You know he's going to call me and say, what the hell are you doing to me?
All right, well, we can promote it again for
Do you know what it's time for?
What is it time for?
For the nuttiest story of the day brought to you by Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey. You know what they say, a night with Screwball.
It's bound to get a little nutty.
All right, here you go.
Okay.
Bangkok man's penis gets stuck in a padlock, freed by a doctor after 2 weeks. In an extremely bizarre case from Bangkok, Thailand, a 38-year-old man had to be rushed to the hospital after his thang got stuck in the hole of a lock. After 2 weeks of silently bearing the pain, he finally alerted his mom about the incident. 38-year-old man had to tell his mom about it, after which she took him to the hospital where the doctors finally relieved him of his condition. But by then it was too late, and his thang is disfigured forever. The young man, whose name has been withheld, he's still single and living with his mom. Surprising? Yeah.
I mean, he waited 2 weeks to go to mom about the issue.
According to his mother, who brought him to the hospital, her son was frustrated at his singlehood and was using the lock to have a good time. In fact, this is not the first time he had engaged in such an act. However, this time it went horribly wrong, and his stuff got stuck. According to the hospital sources, the doctors had to cut the lock by means of an electric cutter. Surgery lasted for about an hour. Things didn't seem to be too badly mutilated. Probably going to be a little disfiguring, but a little dysfunctional, but it's not all lost. He's under treatment for infection. Doctors say he's still in pain, although the painkillers given to him going to help him out a little bit. What are you doing?
What do we think? The key got stuck in the lock?
No.
Couldn't get it out?
Yeah.
What are you doing? Well,
it's a padlock, right?
Is this one of those fake... Did I just get got... I mean, because it's the story comes from Bangkok, Thailand.
So you're saying you haven't with a lock?
I have not. No, have
that
you?
That makes one of us,
have you? That's Eric.
Eric? On the record, Eric, is that a yes? Are you saying Eric?
Is it like one of those Stanley combination locks?
Right. He forget the code? Like, what happened?
You got to remember the code. You got to write it down somewhere, right? You
can't Sylvie, just... Friday night will be at McGee's in Lincoln Park, 6:30 to 8:30.
Yes, you will.
That's 950 West Webster Avenue.
Yeah, don't forget the combos, Sylvie.
Yeah, giving out passes or helping you qualify for passes for the fantasy football convention.
Let me ask you this. You know, the padlock, when it is not locked and it's open, right?
Yeah.
The little grippy part on the end, it's very jagged.
Yeah, it's sharp. It's got an edge.
That is a...
I haven't used a lock in quite a long period of time.
Look at you. For any purpose. Tom Otto, I don't lock anything.
I lock everything. I lock doors. I just have not had a padlock in quite some time.
I'm just thinking
I don't go to the gym. Look at me, Chris. I'm not going to the gym anytime soon.
Well, I assume you have a home gym.
Partial.
Okay. Well,
do you guys
want to
play a game?
Well, no, hold on. I've got questions here. I have questions about the poor individual with the padlock. How?
I don't have answers.
Where was he?
I don't have answers.
What was he?
I have no idea.
Angle.
I don't know how engaging with a padlock is 38.
Yeah, that's how.
Yeah.
I mean, listen.
Who's he living with?
Mom.
Well, mom.
That's how.
And like I said, it is the nuttiest story of the day, but it's very fleshy.
Mom, my folks are caught at the padlock, Mom! Help me out!
I just don't know. Does he have a job? Do you go to work every day?
He works from home, like everyone else during the pandemic. Everyone's working from home.
Two weeks going to work with that thing?
How did he last 2 weeks? Promo code ESPN?
I don't know.
BlueChew.com.
Maybe we can do a little Florida, Ohio later.
You want to do it next? We can
do it
next.
Yeah, we'll do that. You had some football questions I wanted to... Yeah, all right.
Mom, hold on, Mom, I'm stuck!
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.